Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Today on Sloppy Seconds, a couple things. One, we talk about some Twitter drama with the dolls. Meatball's going to walk us through that.
Some of the dolls are dying.
Oh, not dying. Fuck off. And we also have an amazing special guest, someone who called in, and we were so intrigued by the phone call, we decided to have a discussion. Listen, could be you. You got to memorize our phone number.
Which could is 213-536-9101.
Wait, no, I just said too many numbers.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us. Sloppy Seconds.
Oh, Diva. Our number is 213-536-9180. That was a horny one. Our email
did you
is
say
sloppy
80?
I said 80, but maybe I put a little stank on it. Our email is sloppysecondspot@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Hi, you sloppy, you stupid little fucks, you next little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you stupid little fucks, you next little fucks, you dirty little fucks. It's me, Big Dipper, and that's Meatball. And welcome to Sloppy Seconds, Big Dipper and Meatball with Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball. That's Big Dipper and I'm Meatball.
Hello. Hello. Do you love that intro?
No, it wasn't my best work, but it's also, here's a little peek behind the curtain. We're doing this backwards. So I.
They don't need to know.
Okay, but close the curtain.
I wish you would.
I wish you would
close the curtain a little more often. I wish you would. What's going on Twitter?
Gia Gunn. God. I woke up in a silly, goofy mood, and Gia Gunn has tested positive for COVID this morning.
She tweeted about it. So this is not Meatball just spilling her.
I mean, we knew it was coming, but it's shocking that it happened this late in the game. Now, she has tested positive for COVID. And then she did tweet something along the lines of, I think it's very rude when people ask about if you've been vaccinated. It seems like a personal question to me. To which everyone's responses and mine are like, no, it's not personal. Like, I guess technically, yes, it is personal, but we are a year and a half into this thing, over a year and a half. We're coming up on 2 years on this little bitch. And if you have a platform like fucking Gia Gunn, you should be telling people to go get vaccinated. You shouldn't be saying this is a personal decision.
This is Gia's tweet says, asking someone if they're vaccinated or not, I feel is very personal. What's your opinion? Meatball responded, so you're not?
400 likes and counting, baby. It's only 10 a.m. Now,
are you enjoying your moment on Twitter this morning?
I said I was in a silly, goofy mood.
A silly, goofy mood. How are you feeling about the Delta variant?
Not good. So I guess just yesterday they announced that we're going to have to start wearing masks inside again, which, you know, I trusted the science and I took the mask off and I'm going to trust the science and put it back on. But when I did see the spike that they're talking about in comparison, like, it's not a spike. They keep calling it a spike, and it's just the numbers are slowly rising again. But
right,
like, but 90, what is it? Something like 99.8% of all the people in the hospital with COVID right now are not vaccinated.
Correct.
So it's not really, like, I understand it's upsetting because I was getting my life. I'm about to start, I've been performing again, but, like, this weekend I have two shows. Next weekend I have two shows. And now I'm going to have to be masked for all of it because some people couldn't go get a fucking vaccine.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing because I just don't understand the mindset when everyone was getting vaccinated that this huge portion of people just decided not to.
They thought that it would cause herd immunity. What they were not expecting was Little Miss Delta Variant to come in. Welcome to the stage, Delta Variant. And she said, I'm going to kill you.
Oh my God. But that, it's so yeah. So it is interesting. Like, do you feel personally, again, we are not news. This is not science. We're just talking as friends. Do you feel personally?
But QAnon is real.
Do you feel personally like it would be like, are you going to feel comfortable being in spaces without a mask on because of your double dose of whatever vaccine you got?
I mean, I was comfortable.
Yeah.
Now I am not comfortable again. But now I am not comfortable.
But nothing has changed since you were comfortable. As far as you, and you're saying there's more Delta variant on the world.
I'm saying the numbers are going up again. So right. Now I am uncomfortable. Had more people gotten the COVID vaccine, I feel like the numbers would stay low. People's reaction to actually getting COVID would be less severe, and it would be harder to spread. So in a sense, I was comfortable. I didn't know the numbers of people getting vaccinated. I thought once fucking every city in America started giving away fucking Six Flags tickets to go get it, $1 million to go get your COVID vaccine, I thought enough dumb white people, no offense, would have gotten it done. Like, I thought that they would have taken the incentives, but apparently it didn't work because I don't know. I mean, so many people have gotten vaccinated and nothing has happened to any of us. If something happens to me down the road, I'm sure we'll figure out. I don't know. It's just really annoying. I just wanted my life back because, again, unlike a lot of people, I followed the rules so strictly that I did not travel. I did not see my family for over a year and a half. I did not do anything for over a year and a half. I was in the hole money-wise for over a year and a half. So for me to be able to start living my life again, not normal, but start to live again with a mask on and going and doing things safely, it feels like it's being taken away from me.
Yeah,
because of fucking Gia Guns of the world.
In LA County, from July 11th, the cases basically were at like 1,100, and then every day they went up, you know, another 100, it looks like. And now, as of Friday, I mean, this is a Tuesday episode, but as of Friday, there are almost, you know, 1,900. So now, 1,900 new cases.
Yes, Mama, give me that 1,900.
450 people in the hospital. That's not good. Do you remember, you know, in December
when you
of
look
2020,
at the other spike, yeah,
there was 51,000, or there were 51,000 cases of COVID in LA County. Now there are just shy of 2,000. So, like, number wise, we're doing all right. But the
fact that the numbers are going up is not a good sign. Right. You know, the fact that it's going up again, this is all preventative, and I know that, and I will wear a mask, and I will limit my going out and doing stuff. Like, I was going to go out and do stuff for my birthday tonight, and now I've literally canceled all of it.
Oh.
Because I was like, well, I don't want to go out. I don't want to be part of the fucking problem. Going to bars, no mask.
And I feel bad for all of the businesses that were like, waited. And then they were like, girl, let's fly our doors open. Let's do it. The state says it's okay. Are these venues?
Here's the thing.
Is Precinct going to be open? And then everyone just has to wear a mask?
Everyone's wearing a mask.
And then what do you drink? Just put a straw under your mask?
A straw under your mask, or you take it off to drink? Like, it's dumb. It's definitely dumb. I think I read the thing that was like, it's that thing again where it's like, if as long as you're sitting down, COVID can't get you. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, as long as you're drinking a drink, COVID won't kill you. I think it's more that they're just trying to be like, we have to do this again. We let you guys not wear it and it's spreading because you guys were irresponsible.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, here we are.
Talking about COVID again.
Back at it. I'm getting on an airplane.
She's leaving on a jet plane. Where are you going?
I'm in New York right now.
That's weird because New York looks a lot like your apartment.
No, when this episode comes out, I'll be in New York.
Are you in a silly? What are you? Oh, well, good fucking luck in New York.
What? I'm going to see some friends upstate.
But okay, so there's this like, real quick, Akbar, you know how they had their back open and it was like alfresca and you could order drinks and stuff and sit outside. They closed all of that down because they were like, oh, we're finally able to not wear masks anymore. And it's done. So now it's like, what are they going to do? Just close the inside of the bar again? Like, I feel like we're going to be like Australia and we're going to go back onto a full lockdown.
Oh, are they in a full lockdown right now?
I think Melbourne or one of the bigger cities has gone full lockdown again.
How fun. You know, what fun.
I wish I was dead. I wish I would have caught it and died. You know, this has been a fun episode. Now let's get on to our special guest. We have an interview, and I'm really excited to talk about it with Daniel, our guest.
We'll be right back.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah. And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
When my fridge is stocked with Factor meals, I'm like, oh baby, I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so nice. The combinations are so good. I am a meat eater, but the vegetable options, there are so many. Like, I remember I had a mushroom with pasta and like a cauliflower rice. And I was like, the mushroom is filling. Like, there's plenty of portion, there's plenty of vegetable, and there's plenty of flavor. And I am usually sort of not a microwave person.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that this quality of food can just be heated up in the microwave.
And so fast. I also love it because I am a very much into ordering delivery.
I know.
Now having all the food there, I can kind of pick what I want and it's ready in 2 minutes. I don't have to wait an hour for stuff to get delivered. And these are way healthier options than ordering delivery.
Completely. And when they have multiple things in them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I cook for myself, all I'm going to eat is the biggest bowl of pasta you've ever seen in your life. But this is you get a little pasta and the chicken and a vegetable all in one dish.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you gotta do is heat up and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause to reschedule deliveries that suit your lifestyle.
And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long with Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu items for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code SLOPPYSECONDS50 at factormeals.com/SLOPPYSECONDS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
That's a slay, baby.
Okay, welcome back. So we have an exciting thing that we are doing today, which I think maybe a first time. We received a phone call a few weeks ago, and both Meatball and I were like very intrigued by this call and wanted to have a conversation more. So we off air sort of talked about, didn't we say it on air?
I think we said it on air. Yeah.
So we were like, oh, we should get that caller to, you know, come on the show and have further conversation. So We are very excited to welcome Daniel onto the show with us. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
So you are Canadian, is this correct?
Yeah, so I live in Ontario, not far from Toronto, which is the New York City of Canada.
That's true.
That's
but
true. That's
you
true.
Pronounce you just pronounced the T in Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto, not Toronto.
Toronto.
Or Trana.
Toronto. Yeah. Wait, what's the big are there lots of universities or colleges in Toronto?
Well, there's U of T, which is the really big one, and Ryerson, and OCAD, which is the arts college. Mm. I'm sure there's more that I'm forgetting that somebody's going to be mad at me for forgetting.
No one. We have very actually lovely, compassionate listeners who never get mad or never pop off sis about anything.
Yeah, absolutely. The best listener fan base ever. So excited for them.
So we want to play your original voicemail to refresh our listeners of your call. And then I want you to say what you said.
Okay.
Calling because that was great too. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Big Dipper and Meatball. I'm calling from Canada. Longtime listener, first time caller, all that nonsense. Anyway, I am calling as a guy with a pussy here to represent our plight. Bob and Monet talked a little bit about this, about how a lot of gay guys feel like uncomfortable, that virgin sensation when they want to get with a trans guy and they don't know how to act. And to be honest, like on the other side of that, that really sucks. Especially when it's like either innocent curiosity or fetishization that we're getting. Like, I don't want to be your little pussy boy all the time. Obviously, sometimes that's fine. But right now I'm dealing with an issue of like not knowing how to handle these things. Meatball, I really appreciate it. During the Big Dipper dating show promo, you were saying that you were not nice. I am not nice either, yes. But my therapist has suggested to me that perhaps I'm being a little too not nice when it comes to these guys. But I get frustrated because it's like they never have condoms. They don't care. They flat out don't care if I come or not. They only want me to make them come. And then it's like, okay, we'll take you home. So at this point, I'm just like, how do I interact with the gay men without wanting to hit them? Any advice is welcome and appreciated. Thanks so much. Love you guys.
Okay, amazing call.
That was such a great call.
And after you called us, what did you think to yourself?
So when I hung up after leaving that voicemail, which was not scripted, by the way, I could hear how nervous I was.
It felt organic.
Yeah, I liked it.
But after I hung up, I thought to myself, oh, that was really charismatic. I think they're going to answer this call. And then I had the further thought of, wouldn't it be wild if they invited me on the show? And it's like, you don't do that. As Big Dipper, you said this might be the first time.
Yeah,
and, but
it is,
still,
absolutely.
I had the thought of like, I think they might do that.
Well, wow. And here we are. You, so not only
what do they call
are
that manifesting?
Yes.
You made it happen.
And
you're
a
very
a
powerful one. Now.
So, yeah, go ahead, Meeple.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm just trying to remember. I think our advice was to be like, just to like put it out in the open, like in those Grindr profiles, like to say like, I am trans. I am not interested in educating you. I would like to come as well. Like, this is not just about you and I don't care about your virgin experience. Was that right? I love that you called it that too, because I was like, oh, I'm sure for a lot of them, it is a virgin experience. And I've never thought of it that way, but it's like their first time.
Yeah. So you actually gave really decent advice. For
decent.
Very difficult.
That's decent.
Situation.
That's a good one. It wasn't
okay.
Good.
It was not good.
Great.
It was decent because it is like a really good example of a double-edged sword where it's like, yeah, I can communicate as much as I want. It's not always effective.
Right.
It's not always effective because I think, I don't know, I guess it's just sort of a little bit advanced for most people. Like I have to dumb down the language that I use. Even like I have a Grindr profile. I've changed it up a little bit, but I used to use the language of like FTM, which if you're looking for porn, that's what you need to use.
Yeah.
But, right. in my experience, like fewer and fewer people use that language, but we have to like make ourselves legible to other people.
Wow. Yeah.
Like if I don't identify that way, people get really confused about what I am. Viewers or listeners can't see this. I have long hair. I'm very beautiful. So I tend to confuse people a little bit when I tell them that, no, I only use he, him pronouns.
Right.
No, I don't need your card for electrolysis. This is actually on purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this brings up, I've been dealing with this a lot, actually, Delta Work once on an interview that we had said this, and it just really resonated with me, and I find that it resonates literally in every situation, and I don't know that she originated it, but, you know, it's a mantra that she lives by, which is like, you cannot expect yourself from other people. And so sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a bad thing, right? Like, and it also, it always puts the burden on us. Like, it puts the burden on us as people to go, we have to step up and do this extra work in order to curate the experience that we like. Now, what's fucked up about that is that, like, you're in a position where you're like, I'm already fighting uphill here.
Yeah.
And now I have to do this extra work to do the education. So what, I guess my question is, like, when you're talking to guys, when do you get the clue that they're more towards the fetish path than they are sort of interested in you?
There are like several red flags that I've noticed over the years. I feel like I have some of them written down, but some of them are right top of mind. Like, this might get me in trouble, but if a guy tells me that he's bi, mm-hmm. right up front, like I'm bi, that to me is a red flag, because when I ask, like, why is that relevant? Why are you telling me that right away?
Right.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, I like women too. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not a woman.
Yeah.
So why are you telling me this? And they'll be like, oh, well, I like pussy too. And it's like, okay, well, you could have said that.
Yeah.
But it's always the explanation of like, I'm into men and women, so I like you.
Right.
And I it Damn. Just confuses me. And at that point, it's like, okay, well, you obviously don't have any trans friends in your life to tell you what is and isn't okay to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really want to continue talking to you at all. Another one is anybody that's looking specifically for young or smooth, because trans masculine people are so often infantilized for looking the way that we do, like bigger cheeks, with softer jaw lines.
So Meatball and I are both like jaw agape.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you're just looking at me.
I've never heard that or thought about that.
That's so enlightening. I was so excited that you actually asked me to come on the show, because this is stuff that I've been thinking about for so long and never really seen talked about outside of maybe like FTM subreddits, you know?
So the idea of someone sort of really wanting to play on that like young boy type mm-hmm. is like skewing more towards like going after trans masculine people.
Mm-hmm. And some people are into that, empowered to them. However, sure. I think that there's something seriously fucked up about older gay men who are going after young trans mass people. Like, I'm talking 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, like freshly coming into themselves, having to learn a whole new identity on top of like whatever was previous for them. And maybe they don't have an established sense of self yet, or like fair self-esteem.
Yeah.
And so these guys come in, and the validation that comes from having sex with a gay man, and when you are yourself a gay man, but the world doesn't necessarily see you that way.
Uh-huh.
The validation is very important.
Yes.
In a way, but it simultaneously can be really harmful.
I think totally. I think a lot of sex between gay men, regardless of their gender identity, can be both validating and very harmful. So
oh, absolutely.
I think that's a universal theme, but it is so much more poignant to sort of see it that way.
So part of your call was that you feel like they just use you to come and then they like send you off, or they're like, I'm done. I mean, what is that experience like, and how do you handle that in the moment?
It's tough because I am, like, speaking bluntly, I am afraid of men. I'm a smaller person. I'm not as strong as a lot of the guys that I'm going out with. So, like, if they come first, which usually happens, they will often make the excuse of like, oh, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with a vagina. So like, I'm not even going to try. And I'm like, okay, well, shit. I could have maybe told you something.
Yeah.
But then, like I said before, it doesn't always even work. Like me telling them what to do. They're just, and that's, I guess, not entirely their fault. Inexperience is inexperience. But it's the lack of like, even caring whether or not I enjoyed myself.
Well, also, Dipper,
you were talking about the porn idea of like send them a video.
Oh yeah,
where the trans guy's getting all the attention. That might work if those videos existed.
Yeah, I was about to say, does that happen?
It's behind a paywall, so it's hard to send someone. But remember when we had the tantric sex daddy, Daddy Will?
Yes.
He has some like really amazing videos up where he's just fucking, I mean, like marathon running, like just constant, like eating the vagina, like nonstop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa. That's impressive. I was like, that guy is really moaning for the ceiling there in that video. And I was like, he's giving all of his attention. But yes, no, of course.
Because now it's registering on me, like the people that I've seen in the porns where they're fucking a trans man, it's literally like the trans man is a toy. It's like being used, and then they don't even get to come, and they get cummed on, and then the video's over.
I think that speaks more generally to like the academic word would be phallocentric.
Sure.
Colloquially, yeah. Well, because the world is dick obsessed.
Right. And I wanted to say, it's almost like there's a lot of terminology and there's a lot of like, you know, like treading on your like, I don't want to say anything, but it's almost like the fabric of misogyny in our world is so massive that even when someone is identifying as a man, that it still seeps into that world, even to the point of like you were talking about condom use. It's like, there is a different risk factor that isn't only related to STI infection.
I didn't even think of that.
And the person is going like, oh, well, I'm affirming your gender so hard I don't want to fuck you with a condom. It's like, well, no, because you're not paying attention to me, like my actual body. We need this other protection here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have you had any hookups post that phone call or like our terrible advice?
Well, what's a dream hookup? That's what I want to
hear. Yeah, tell us like an ideal hookup for you.
Or something that has happened. I want to hear a real world experience.
Well, I might go a different direction and I'll circle back around.
Okay, go on. You go. Show her, dude.
On the note of being dick obsessed, I want to tell this story so that other people can hear it, maybe not fuck up the same way I fucked up.
Okay.
So,
a lot of people, when they become disillusioned with fucking cis men, because it isn't usually good at all, they'll go like T for T, right?
Trans.
And I was in a relationship with another trans person, and I cheated on that person because I was too focused on dick as opposed to the actual person that I was with, who I loved so much and still care about so deeply. And I really regret the choices that I made that hurt him. And I've come so far since that. I think I've really grown as a person. But I regret also that it took him hurting for me to get here. Right. So that's why I wanted to share that story of like, you need to examine why you're so dick obsessed. Like, I'm speaking to other people out there. If you are a person that's like, I'm just not attracted to vagina, you need to think about that seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I was having this conversation with Boomer Banks, who I know listens to the show. We were talking on the phone earlier this week, and we were talking about racism and like ingrained racism, and we were both sort of exploring being younger and having those ingrained things in our head where it's like, oh, I only looked at white people as being attractive until like my like mid-20s. And then I was like, why do I only think that way? Like I never really broke that door down as a teenager because I was so like that sort of systemic racism was so ingrained.
But it also because for me and my experience, all the porn that was accessible and available was Sean Cody shit like Sean Cody. Corbin, whatever, I can't remember all the names, but it was
Corbin
just Dallas always
multipass.
Yes, mama. It was always just like white dudes, and right. So that's what I like grew accustomed to. And then I don't know. It's just like it's
but
just
the
all
moment
terrible.
You open
Everything's
it up, you're
terrible.
Like the moment you open it up, you're like, oh, I'm literally attracted to every type of person.
Yeah, and so also I think... feel like porn with trans people in it hasn't been widely available in my circle or like what I've been viewing until recently, and now I watch it, but it's like it never came up. It wasn't a thing.
This is very interesting to me because porn has focused on trans women
Correct.
For a long time.
Dick obsessed.
So much to the point where you can tell when someone's knowledge of transness comes exclusively from porn.
Right.
Because they don't know I exist. Like so many people don't think that people transition. Like it's hard to choose language.
The language is very difficult.
Caution. Yeah,
but, sure, but you know what show you're on, so you can say whatever.
Yeah, we're basically
for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yes.
STM.
Yes.
Like they are very focused on that male to female, quote unquote, transition.
It all goes back to your point about being dick obsessed. I remember when I first learned about trans masculine people and people were talking about trans men having surgery, I was like, I don't understand. Like, it just didn't register because my brain had only understood and been exposed to one direction mm-hmm. of transition. And mm-hmm.
One direction.
Yeah, to Harry Styles. I think all of these points you're bringing up are so, so on the money. I even think about sometimes, you know, feeling like, oh, I want to go to a sex party and suck as many dicks as possible. It's like, why? Like, why is it just like one good one and then a cuddle good enough? Like there is so much like dick obsession.
That's another thing is I would really love to go to like a bathhouse. Never. I will never do that. There's just no way I would ever be comfortable.
Have you ever been to like not a bathhouse establishment but a sex party that was specifically like inclusive, like
no.
in its name and title?
So I mean, in the province where I'm at, and I feel like Canada in general, queer spaces have been disappearing really quickly. Like, and if you're not in Toronto, you're pretty much out of luck. Like all the inclusivity, if you will, is concentrated there. So if you're outside the GTA or the Greater Toronto area, then there's just, it feels very isolating a lot of the time, which is an added issue.
Right.
Wow.
So, okay. So let's circle back to...
Oh, idealness?
Idealness or a positive experience in your life that was just a hookup. Is there one?
Just a hookup? There have been decent ones. I would not say that I've had any excellent hookups with cis guys before. when I like sexed with trans people, that's the only time that I'm like, this is excellent. Because they kind of just, I don't know, like if I'm texting another trans mask person, we kind of have the same understanding of language, and we very quickly will exchange like comments about ourselves. Like I'll say, oh, like my cock, like I'll refer to that way. Right. And then I might also say my pussy. And then they know that they can use those words to talk about me.
Right.
And it's not as awkward as like somebody being like, so like, what, how should I, what words should I, maybe could you explain like that style, you know? And I want to be like clear to guys listening. It's okay to be nervous. It's totally okay to be nervous, but we're just people and we're not going to bite your head off unless you're being a dickhead. And then I will.
Okay. Well, speaking of being a dickhead, should we listen to this voicemail?
Oh God. Okay.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, let's do this. Let's take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to play this voicemail.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Okay, we are back, and after we played your voicemail on the show, we received a call from a person. Do you think this person has called before, Meatball?
Yes.
Oh, this is this person who calls all the time?
Yeah, this is 512.
Oh, this is the person. Okay, so now we know the area code.
Constantly.
Okay, so, and you know, let's play, we'll play this voicemail.
It's here. Well-intentioned, just don't get mad, like, right out the gate.
Okay.
Or do.
That no promises. People,
no, I was talking to the advice. Audience. I was talking to the audience. Yeah, Daniel, you do what you need to do.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Big Dipper and Meatball. It's your not-so-favorite multi-time caller, the guy from the 512. And I just listened to the episode where you guys were fielding a call from a trans male individual. And I really want to talk about this because, and I want more people to talk about this because the conversation went straight to their voice, to their profiles and how they listed themselves in their profiles or so forth. Do people not meet in person at all anymore? That's what I want to know because I have had this experience where I have cruised up on somebody because they were 5'4" with a fat ass, and I'm willing to do whatever. But we're going to have to talk about you having a vagina. I'm not sure why I'm expected to just know that that is what is being presented to me once the clothes are off. And then how to deal with that. I am a gold star fag, and not for any particular reason.
Oh, no. You
people
passed out.
People with vaginas have never been attracted no, Daniel's to gone. Me.
Wait. We have to hear, because this is where the bullet points come in.
Gold star fag, and not for any particular reason. People with vaginas have never been attracted to me. But trans men tend to have fat asses and have the accoutrement because they tend to work on their bodies a lot to fulfill their images. And that tends to be the case. I just don't feel like we talk about this enough. It needs to be talked about. I'm sorry, yes. This trans person needs to develop a communication style to deal with this because they're going to limit their options. We need to talk.
Okay.
I have a response.
Yes.
I've been taking notes.
Good.
Oh,
so
perfect.
I do want to thank this person for calling. I'm not mad. They had a very good point about needing to develop your communication style. I think that is necessary. And you both commented on how it's kind of unfair that we have to do that. Like the extra work. But it makes things easier.
Yeah.
It really does. And I do know how to talk about it. I do. And to the point about apps, it's just easier to have that conversation digitally rather than, okay, we're going to go out. And then while we're on the date, I have to tell you at some point
right.
that I have a vagina. How, like, okay, sure, you want me to say that face to face, but then I don't know what's going to happen after that point. And now I'm in a room with you. And if we meet in public, like I try to meet people in public places because of this reason.
Right.
Like if I'm alone with you and I tell you I'm trans, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And cis guys have to acknowledge that sometimes they do have that physical strength advantage, and that's powerful and it's scary.
Right.
Absolutely.
And to the point of cruising, this is very interesting because I've never actually been clubbing ever.
Oh.
When I was younger and very early on in my transition, I was told a story by another trans guy that kind of freaked me out about how someone at a club had come up to him and felt him up, chest and between the legs to see what was there and what wasn't.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Dipper, I know you've talked about how it's kind of normal between cis gay guys to just like come up, slap the ass. But even then I feel like that's more between people you know.
I agree. I don't like that it happens. I was somewhere, just to interject, I was somewhere recently and I was leaving and a person came up to me who was working at the venue. I was like, he came up and was like, okay, bye, and tried to give me a hug. And I like leaned back. I was like, we hadn't talked all night. I didn't. And it, for whatever reason, he wanted to come hug me. And I was like, he was like, oh, no hugs. And I was like, yeah, why would I hug you?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You took this moment to get a hug. That's the exact
same thing as being felt up in a club to see if you're
trans. Off. I'm just saying, I agree with Daniel that it should be more between if you know one another, you can do like
let's face it,
touches.
you know if you have a relationship like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know when you don't. Do we want to talk about the gold star thing?
Yes, I want to talk about it.
What the fuck?
This is the bane of my existence.
How fucked up is it? Don't they also say, isn't there this term, which is insane to me, that people refer to
platinum
being that they were born via C-section, so they've never even touched a vagina, which is absolutely so fucked up.
People hate vaginas so much.
What is that?
They give themselves an award for it. I don't know. If I were that guy, I'd stop saying that out loud.
Me too. Take our advice. Don't say gold star gay anymore.
If you genuinely want to sleep with trans guys, you want to hang out with us, get close to us, you should remove that term from your vocabulary immediately.
Also, that comment of people with vaginas have never been attracted to me. You don't know that.
Did you say attracted or attractive?
He said attracted.
I thought it was attracted. You don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't know that to be true. There was a lot of, like, just full-on blanket statements about, like, I also don't think let's all meet in person instead of on the apps. That's such a like.
I would love to live in a world where I could just meet somebody in person.
But we also live in a world where like trans people are being attacked almost daily.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense. And your safety is probably more important. Well, is more important.
You said probably. What the fuck?
Probably.
more important than a dick.
I don't know. Mine definitely is.
Me going out at 3 a.m. to hook up with someone in their car. Probably more important.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was hard because it felt like the caller was trying to make a point, but also it was just sort of like a list of like, why don't we meet in person? What am I supposed to do if I meet someone and I don't know what they've got going on? Everyone always talks about what you've got going on in your pants.
Yeah, just like, what do you got going on?
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you have a great dick or do you have an ugly dick?
Like, yeah, like that's not, we're not putting that in our Grindr profile.
Have you washed your genitals today, sir?
Exactly. So I think you doing the extra step of even putting FTM, I know you hate it, in your Grindr profile or any profile is a huge step forward and like letting people know what's coming. You know what I mean? So his request to know what's in between your legs in person the first time you meet is absolutely insane to me.
So let's because we never quite got there, and I just want to end with some, like, not to burden you with education and communication, but here we are on a platform. So what are things that people can do? And if you could describe an ideal hookup scenario so that our listeners who are out there hitting on and fucking guys with vaginas can execute these things and sort of, you know, make good sex happen as much as possible out in the world.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely have some tips.
Also, I love the term pussy boy. I don't think I had ever heard it until your phone call.
Oh, yeah. A real live pussy boy.
Pussy boy.
That being said, if anybody ever uses the word pussy for me, I'll personally end your life.
Wow. Okay.
I hate it, which is why my first tip is to, even if you don't want to, the sex is going to be better if you do that communication right up front and talk about how you would like to be referred to. I'll speak in medical terms. Like, when you take testosterone and you have a vagina, the clit grows. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially, for a lot of people, that's their cock. And some people will use the word pussy. Some people don't. Some people don't even like to have vaginal sex. So it's really important to talk about what you want to do and how you want to do it.
Well, I just wanted to interject. Yeah, because I know people who want to be having anal sex, but having their vagina played with or interacted with, but not penetrated, but having anal sex is like, you have to be clear about all of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so another thing is that I think people still don't acknowledge that, like, actual penetration isn't the best part of sex for a lot of people with vaginas. But that seems to be what most guys are expecting from me. I don't know if it's just because it's, like, routine for vagina interaction. But here are some tips. Don't take my pants off right away. I got three words, and that's over the pants.
Over the pants.
So a clit is like, basically, imagine if the sensitivity in the head of your dick was the same for the whole dick.
Right.
Okay. Right?
Does that make sense?
That's a lot.
That's what it feels like to touch a clit, right? And if you just go in there with like a dish scrubber motion, it's going to hurt.
No.
That hurts. And don't fucking just go right in with the fingers blasting me. That doesn't feel good. You really have to take your time with foreplay. Make sure that that person is turned on.
Right.
And a nice way of doing that can be to like slide your hand over their thigh, between their legs. And then you can ask, like, can I take your pants off? Or something to that effect.
Yes.
That's a good rule for everybody, I
I'm
feel
like. Keep talking.
Dipper got a boner.
It's basically like, just make sure that person is actually into you and feeling it. I don't think that's too much to ask of anyone. You would do the same if your partner had a dick, right?
Like,
you would just be more comfortable because you know how a dick reacts.
Assuming
you have one.
Are there certain things that you don't want to be asked on, like, an app? Like, specifically, just, like, don't do that, don't say that?
For me, personally, I don't like it when guys approach sexually right up front. I know that's, like, it's an app, it's Grindr, people are going to do that. but I just like a little bit of connection beforehand. Like, I have plenty of other stuff in my bio about art and music, and why don't you ask me about those things first?
Right. Yeah.
So I think that for those guys that maybe are a little bit guarded, that's a good way of introducing yourself, like not starting sexually right away.
And you mean waiting, like having a conversation and finding commonalities between two people before you
imagine that?
How crazy.
So I know that's like a pretty basic tip.
But it's, I mean, people need to fucking hear it still.
And then I guess finally it's like, so I'm sure there's someone who is listening who is, you know, in their head going, well, you know, I see people online or listening to, you know, Daniel talk or whatever. It's like, I am interested in having this experience. You know, we talk about sexual experiences all the time. Yeah. So it's like a lot, you know, we talk about fisting on the show. A lot more people out in the world are fisting. And there are people who, you know, are like, I want to try that. And so I think it's a totally valid idea to be like, I want to have sex with a guy with a vagina. I want to, you know, all of these things. But what is the way of doing that and having that experience that isn't, because to me, it's the same thing. It's like, I want to have sex with, you know, like I want to suck a huge dick. I want to suck a small dick. I want to, you know, I want to
throw into small dicks right now.
Try the buffet. You know what I mean? And yeah. So I think there's a respectful way of it not being a fetish, but it is being open to an experience.
Yeah.
But also, like, if it's your first time with a guy with a vagina, like, you need to bone up and do work and figure out, you know, it will be your first time. So yeah. What's the advice there?
I mean, you could try to prepare a little bit beforehand.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
Do your homework.
There are plenty of anatomical drawings that's going to help you find the G-spot. The G-spot secret, little known secret. Dun, it's dun, just dun. The inside part of the clit.
Okay.
Okay. I need everybody to pull up Google and look up an anatomical drawing. Sorry, quickly returning to the point of like what not to ask.
Oh, yeah.
You really can't. Like, don't straight up ask somebody. So do you have tits?
Oof.
Do you have a pussy or a cock? Like, those aren't polite questions to ask anyone.
Right.
You know, and I would say that if that is something that you need to know beforehand, a more polite way of asking about it is like, if you get to the point where things are sexual and you're talking about, well, what would you want me to do to you? And what should I call you? What word should I use? Those are just like straight up questions that person can answer fairly quickly, and then you move on with the interaction.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Is that helpful?
I think that's extremely helpful. I think we got to the bottom of a lot of stuff. I feel like we're going to get a lot more questions and comments, so we might need to have a second go of this.
But this was great. We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for coming on, Daniel.
I very much appreciate you having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And I hope you have very positive sexual interactions moving forward.
Much appreciated. Right back at you. All right. Have a great day.
Goodbye.
Wow. Oh,
wow.
That was amazing.
That was really nice. I feel like I learned a lot.
Likewise. And I also, you know what I will say? The thing that I took the most from that is, like, look up an anatomical drawing. Like, look at some porn if you can find it. Like, because in my mind, I'm always like, oh, I'll just figure it out.
Yeah.
And a couple of my experiences that I've had in the past, people have been very, instructive. So the instructions, you know, I was a good little boy and I followed my instructions and I did what I was told. But, you know, taking just like anything, take a little time to do some research and be proactive in your experience.
And again, like, I don't know if it's just me, but like when I'm about to hook up with somebody or when we always would like discuss what was going to happen. And so there would be no surprises. There would be no, like, why don't we try this? And I'd be like, well, that's not really what we talked about, and I'm not into that. So let's just stick to the plan. So I think it's...
You don't like to schedule sex, but you do want to stick to the plan.
I want to stick to the plan of the sex that is going to happen that should feel very spontaneous.
Well, why don't you take us on out here, Meatball?
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the pod. I hope you enjoyed. You can phone call us at the number of the 213-536-9180. We're still looking for a squirt professional, someone who knows a lot about squirt. So please email us at sloppysecondpod@gmail.com.
Squirt.
Or you can follow us on Instagram at sloppy pod. Or at Big Dipper Jelly or Spiciest Meatball. And then you can find me on Twitter at Fat Drag Meatball. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday.
We're going to do some gay science on Friday. Very exciting stuff. Bye.
Gay science? Doodle-a-doo-doo. Forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.